Do you ever feel like your product team ships faster than you can build training? Yeah, me too. And that's why I've been checking out what the folks at Learn Experts are doing. Their AI platform called Leo takes your existing content, docs, slides, wikis, recordings, and turns it into full training programs, publishing in multiple modalities to nail blended learning for your customers 85% faster than traditional methods. And get this, when your product updates, Leo can update the content faster by automatically incorporating it into your existing outline, content, and even your end of course test or exams. LearnExpert shares that their customers are reporting 90% efficiency here. Now that's time back to actually focus on strategy, or let's be honest, to finally take a lunch break. Plus, it connects with platforms like Skilljar and others so that you can publish straight to your academy without missing a beat. Check it out at learnexperts.ai/CELab and see how you can keep your learning and test in release mode. Learn Experts. Build like an expert, update like a pro. Hello and welcome back to CELab, the Customer Education Laboratory, where we explore how to build customer education programs, experiment in our lab with new approaches, and exterminate the myths and all that bad advice you might get that stops our growth as businesses, as fast-growing software companies dead in its tracks. Today, I am super thrilled to welcome a true expert, entrepreneur, friend, and builder in the learning space. Sarah is the CEO and founder of Learn Experts, a platform that is fundamentally changing. I believe this after watching this, fundamentally changing how B2B SaaS companies approach training development. So let's welcome Sarah Sedgman. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks. And I'm super excited to chat with you today and get all your tough questions.
They won't be tough. Maybe they will. I don't know. I've been looking forward to this for a while because just kind of personally, I remember we were at SEDMA earlier in the year and I sat down next to you and we were so in the thrall of the meeting that was going on. And we talked just briefly and then we were able to connect. And this is going to be great. So let's start with a warm-up question. Usually we do the International Day of. I'm not going to do that today because it was an easy pick. It's Women's Entrepreneurship Day. And what better opportunity we have, Sarah, we have you on and you've done all this work. So we're going to talk through that. I'd like you to tell your story too a little bit because this is the platform that you have. And it's not just the platform, it's what's underneath it that is really turning heads. And for me, it's really exciting to see this enmeshing. I'm burying my lead. So the question I have for you is, we were talking in advance, one of our meetings about our favorite movies and got on Star Wars. So I have to ask you, and this is a fun interrelation to what we talk about soon. What is your favorite Star Wars movie from the original trilogy, right? What is that? 4, 5, 6. And why is this relevant to the podcast? There's my question for the day.
My favorite movie is Return of the Jedi. Yeah. I could quote most of the movie at this point. But my favorite quote from it is, "It's a trap." I've used that many times.
How many meetings with execs? It's a trap. What? Yes, it is. what I particularly like about that too is that your interest. I wonder, did your interest in any way influence the name of your platform or the product?
I remember we did talk about this because. Yeah. The name of our platform is Leah. Uh-huh. So capitals L-E-A, small I. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Which actually stands for Learn Experts AI.
So
pretty non-creative, Princess although Leah. I'm trying to make a female, persona of it. But then, some people will call it Leia, which I don't mind because I love Star Wars. So
yeah. So it's Leah. We've established that.
Leah. Should have.
I love it. It's relevant to me because we've been a Star Wars family. My son's named Luke. We didn't do that it was more like a Gilmore Girls thing, I think. I won't get into that. But my dog's name is Leia. Luke. I was playing games with my son yesterday online and his friend said, "Oh, Luke, he is your father." I'm like, "Oh my God." All right. Let's get into this. We've got a lot to talk about, and I'm super excited about this, particularly coming off of, we had a gap and I did some free thinking and sharing experiences that I have. Now, I want to frame up this conversation in this way. I gave this a lot of thought when I was thinking about how to break into our conversation. Let's talk about AI to begin with. So one of the things we came up with is, and if we talk about AI too much, we should really stop talking about it in a way, because it's just here. It's here today. And if we were cut it off at the chase, AI isn't replacing instructional designers. Like, I want to lead in with that, because there's a lot of fear and worry, concern for all of us is, okay, your product is going to talk about exactly this role of instructional design. AI isn't replacing instructional designers. It's making their role infinitely more valuable by finally giving them the tools to keep pace with business, right? In SaaS, we're scaling, we're moving fast. In other words, we have the need for speed and we really have to get working fast. So that's one of the core reasons I'm excited to talk to you today, Sarah, is that you've got the Lea platform, and it is something I've been watching and it grow, hearing what people are saying about. And it's something that I think, where everybody's scrambling to do AI everything. Oh, I'm doing AI. Me too. Me too. Me too. That's where we're at right now. But you're there, and you have two things that I think are really important. And that is that Lea embeds domain competency. I can stumble on my words. They're hard. Domain competency. That is you with your experience as an instructional design, learning experience design expert, right? You've done that. You have the background and the pedigree. You have that, and you also imbued that expertise into the platform. So not only do we have the tooling, there is this ability to say we've got both, but now we're using AI in the way that you out in the field can trust, right? Because now it's bringing in the componentry, the ideas, the philosophy, the pedagogy, right, all into the platform. So that's the principle that I would assert here is that you're building this correctly from the core with learning, understanding of learning and the principles of learning first, right? It's imbued learning science and instructional design principles. So that's my spiel. I want you to do more of the talking now. So let's go ahead and break into this. Let's get into your background story. Okay. I'd like to learn about you as you, right? Because your product is an extension of you. Tell me about your background. You've been an instructional designer. You're an entrepreneur. Let's break into it.
I've been in the learning space for 25 plus years, maybe 26. I started my career as an instructional designer. Wasn't actually where I thought I would start my career. I thought I was going to be a teacher. At the time when I graduated, a lot of people were going into tech writing. And so I landed a job in tech writing and quickly moved into instructional design. And I fell in love with it. I mean, back then there was just instructor-led training, really. But I loved the puzzle of trying to hear from subject matter experts and then break that down in a way that I could then write about it or explain it that was easy for someone to learn. And so I saw myself as a really valuable connecting point between the really deep technical experts and then the user, essentially, because I was in tech. And so then throughout my career, I moved into management and, you know, e-learning came along. I just did a post on LinkedIn actually about this, about how things have changed all the time for learning. And every time it seems like everyone's panicking, like, oh, it's the death of the instructor. You know, I told you I have a little prop here, but like we used to release, you know, I kept all of these because I was really proud of all the courses I built. But we used to have, you know, when computer-based training came, I mean, it was called computer-based training CBT. Of all things, but printed on a CD. Everyone said death of the instructor, but that didn't happen. And so now, you know, I moved into management and ran some of the largest learning organizations across the industry. I was at Cognos. We were acquired by IBM. I worked for PTC. So that was the largest learning organization I ran there. And then worked for a company called Kinaxis, which is Canadian. Built out the learning program and became chief customer officer. But throughout the whole process, you know, we had to change and innovate and do things differently and serve up training, you know, went from instructor led to video based and e-learning and all the virtual class and, you know, all sorts of different ways to produce the learning that then we as instructional designers and people who delivered had to figure out. And so now this is just the new wave around AI. I often say it's just another tool in our toolbox. It's not scary. It's not going to replace us. As you said, it just makes us faster. And my goal for founding the company was to solve the problem of the manual tasks around developing training that instructional designers have spent a whole bunch of time doing, but it's not impactful. It's taking our expertise and almost, you know, dumbing it down because we have to copy and paste or, you know, do really mundane tasks. And so that's why I saw an opportunity to found LearnExperts and create a platform that really focused on eliminating the mundane tasks, leveraging AI to do a lot of those things. What's different about us is we infuse our deep subject matter expertise into that design and development element, which means, you know, we think about things like, what is the learning science that needs to be applied? That tell me, show me, let me try, test me. You know, what is the right thing for the AI to serve up in this context or in this circumstance? And then how can we build on that across the whole workflow, thinking of an end-to-end platform? And of course, we partner and we link in with other platforms that are really good at producing video, for example, things that, you know, we don't want to do. But in doing that, we've created this end-to-end workflow that goes all the way from, you know, your raw content assets to producing high quality exams.
Right. This is all music to my ears because it's the, you know, we always have these Me Too kind of companies or someone says, well, I'm going to solve this problem, but they don't always necessarily have the passion and the deep experience from working in the trenches that now you're meshing the two together and saying, okay, now, and we're going to talk throughout this podcast episode about the how, but I think that's most important thing to hold. If you're listening in the audience, hold in your mind is that now we have the peanut butter jelly time of instructional design tooling that helps you accelerate what you're doing and the value you have as an individual that's building that content. You could be an accidental instructional designer via, you know, Cammie Bean's book, like me and others, where we've naturally, you're kind of you're a teacher in your gut. There's a time when it just happens and you have like, oh, you found your inner teacher. But then this platform is bringing together the things that are really important to those who don't have that experience too, that it can open up that space to say, oh, well, let's get into that soon. Let's go into now. Let's talk about the core of what you're talking about, which is, I think, speed, consistency together, right? And the success you're seeing, I want you to talk more about as you're locking in customers, they're saying, oh my gosh, okay, I absolutely have to use this platform now because I've seen the value and it is accelerating my program development. What I'd like you to do is like exposition about that experience. Now here I am a customer of yours. I'm using your platform. What are the things that we're finding that's the most value out of it?
I would say, in addition to that, you know, I love chatting with people in our industry because, you know, often they'll say, why did you leave this cozy corporate role and build a company? It's not easy. And my sole goal really was to just help our industry accelerate on the design and development of courses. But in doing that, also help people who don't know how to build courses, guide them through building courses to get to great quality. And the reason for that is, you know, I always stayed on the customer education side because we would sell our training to the customer and it would be a business line item. And so that gave me the flexibility to be able to create the team and, you know, the more we could increase revenue, the more things we could get in terms of headcount mm-hmm. and tools mm-hmm. and all the things we needed. But we couldn't satisfy all the learning needs across the organization. And so I come across a lot of our customers tell us this too, that they get requests from internal teams to create training and they just can't do it because they're focused on, you know, what the customer needs. And so that was kind of the goal, was to create a platform that really helped aid instructional designers to do things faster. Because if you're an instructional designer, you know, you're always behind. Always. There's not one that like, I can keep up to the demand, not one. But also to enable, you know, other organizations like sales enablement or partner enablement, customer support, to build really high quality learning so that they could give their learners a good experience with, again, that right learning science and the frameworks embedded. Definitely on the core value, the things that we're hearing is that people adopt Leah quickly because, number one, they gain speed and efficiency in areas where they just can't do that manually as a human. But they say, you know, they can tell instructional designers have built the platform. And so often I'll hear, you know, these are exactly the pain points I had, and you solved them in the way that I thought should be the way that we do it. Uh-huh. And so that increases, you know, adoption and adaptability quickly. And then the other one that we hear often is consistency. So even across a customer learning organization, I'd say customer training has gotten really good over time at standardizing. Mm-hmm. But then often because, you know, there's a backlog, you know, they'll need to pull in subject matter experts or other people that aren't, you know, I always got asked to include consultants on the bench, for example. Just take the consultants on the bench and then they're the SMEs and they can build the training. And I'd be like, okay, sure. If only I had a tool like Leah back then, they could have, and then handed it off to me. And then I could have continued to publish the course the way I knew it needed to be published. And so the consistency is really helping companies where when they upload the flow that you will see in Leah is you upload your raw content assets. Mm-hmm. There's no limitation on how many. On upload, then the platform will do a number of things. It'll rewrite as course. It'll apply learning best practices. It'll embed a learning framework automatically for the user. So things like task-based headers get applied automatically. Mm-hmm. Instructional designers know how important task-based headers are because it helps the learner understand the tasks they're going to learn. But people who aren't IDs don't know that. So the tool will do that for them. And people who are instructional designers don't need to spend the time to craft that title, for example. Right. So it just gives consistency, you know, interactive elements. They're all built consistently. The test questions are, you know, built in a consistent format, leveraging AI to do a lot of that work. The storyboarding we start to see, which I think we're going to talk about a little mm-hmm. bit later. Mm-hmm. The storyboarding, you know, kind of happens as you're building the course, but the AI is making the high quality suggestions so that they're consistent each and every time, no matter who's using the platform. And then you can produce the course, can send for review, but you can produce the course in multiple modalities. Where today, if you didn't have Leah, you would have to produce an e-learning course and use PowerPoint or something else right. to produce an instructor-led. So you'd have to redo the work. And so those are just click of a button and they'll produce the same every single time, but also, you know, eliminate a lot of those mundane tasks. Yeah, and then the third piece, which I talked about, is just enabling subject matter experts or teams that wouldn't typically produce learning. Great example is one of our clients. They have a CPO project management office. And so they were asking the customer facing team if they could build training for them on how to do change requests or things that are really internal to the organization, but have to be done the same way. Mm-hmm. And so they said, hey, if we gave them some licenses of Leah, could they you know, produce a high quality course, give us the SCORM file, we can upload it into the LMS. We said yes. Within a couple of weeks, that team was already creating, you know, I think they had said they created 4 courses.
Wow.
Really unlocking the power as well for people that don't have expertise to be able to still produce good quality learning, even when it's not necessarily the priority of the official learning team.
Yeah, no, that is a huge value prop for many companies. Particularly, I think of one edge case here, or one use case is, I'm a smaller startup SaaS, maybe, and pardon me for talking in terms of venture capital, but like a Series B or C, where you're now thinking, oh my gosh, now we have technical debt, we need to train people better, faster, but we're not going to afford to bring in some high-end instructional designers. We've got people that are good enough, right? The problem with subject matter experts is guardrails around their crafting of a training, they're going to default into our normal, you know, standard model, which is just throw everything out there and let it all fall and whatever order. Jumbled and, you know, chaos is in my brain. But then now we have a way to put those folks on the rails, so to speak. Maybe you can talk more about, there's a couple features in your platform. One's the content transformer and the other is exam generator. I'd like you to get more into those too, because for me, that's the proof and, you know, in the pudding, the fact that, okay, I've got this technology and this technology, I can now get really good content, but I don't have to either, as an instructional designer, have that amazing amount of cognitive load when I'm under pressure to deliver because I've standardized. And conversely, if I'm a subject matter expert that doesn't have access to all those folks, I can be producing some pretty good content on my own and getting that to an instructional designer or not, if I don't have access to that. Can you talk a little bit more about those two components of your platform?
Yeah. So interestingly, the course transformer, we had thought about it in terms of having it on the roadmap, but we work really closely with our customers to hear what they want. And we get a lot of enhancement requests. And so we try to focus in on the themes of enhancements that we're getting across the whole customer base. But this one kept coming up. And it was, you know, for instructional designers, we've had years and years of training. We learned from other instructional designers. There wasn't necessarily, some courses you can take, but, and so we can almost, like, if we understand the tasks or the jobs to be done, it's really intuitive for us to build a course outline in the order of the tasks that need to be done. Often when we're working with subject matter experts, we're asking them, like, if you were to teach somebody this, how would you teach it? What would you teach first, second, third? It's not always as intuitive to the subject matter experts in which order.
Yes.
And so sometimes they'll start with the most complicated things because they think, well, that's the hardest thing. Everybody knows the other things. But experts in instructional design or have been doing course development for a long time know that you can't assume everybody knows everything equally. And so you have to start with the most basic tasks and lead to the advanced tasks.
Right.
Now, often we're starting from raw content assets, I guess. So examples of those might be, you know, an article, or if it's in tech, it might be a PowerPoint from a product manager on it. Feature or documentation or knowledge base articles. So there's all these, or even just raw video, like rough videos. And so instructional designer could go through pretty quickly and pick out the right pieces that are needed and structure the outline, but that takes time to manually do. So they were asking us, is there a way to automate that now that AI exists? Can it go through and analyze and then tell us, make a suggestion for a consolidated course outline? And then could it suggest the right content to populate the right sections in the course outline?
Right.
And so that's exactly what the course transformer does, is you upload your content, you go to this, you know, fancy button, that looks like magic, right? Everything's magic.
Yeah, it does.
And then it will go through and analyze through all of those content assets, what the course outline should be. And it will also analyze from basic to more advanced tasks. So it'll suggest in the order it needs to go. And then if you like it, you can prompt it and tweak it or refine it. But if you like it in the end, then it will go through those content assets and pull the right pieces in. And then some of the content becomes unmapped. So some might not mm-hmm. map right into the outline. But it'll do that in, I don't know, it feels long when you're watching it, but maybe 30 seconds. Whereas a human, like, it would take hours to go through that.
Or days.
So the instructional designers were asking for that. But then as we started to also have different teams, you know, like different teams like sales enablement and people training customer support aren't necessarily instructional designers. They may have built courses, or they might be often their subject matter experts.
Yeah.
And so for them, what it does is it actually suggests for them how to structure the course. Whereas what they tell us is, you know, we're staring at the page and we don't even know where to start.
Right.
So it gives them a starting place that they can always tweak, but it saves a lot of time. So that's the beginning transformer part. And then we also have recently added on an exam generator. Also because people are asking for larger end of course tests, or, hey, we need, you know, a bank of questions so that we can rotate questions so that people can't cheat as easily. And so we worked with a certification guru in the industry, Joe Canada. Mm-hmm. Some watching this might know Joe.
Hi, Joe.
And so we built in, just like we did in the authoring part, we built in the certification and test question industry best practices. And so now you can use courses that you build in Leah, or you can upload additional resources, or you can just use resources. It doesn't have to be from a course, but you can create the AI will, again, analyze all the content for both context and complexity. So it will serve up a consolidated, if let's pretend you have five resources in there, five courses, it'll suggest a consolidated set of domains to test against, the competencies that you should test the learners against based on the starting content, and it'll write the questions. So it just depends. If you want 20 questions, you can have 20. If you want 200, if you have enough content in there, it'll do 200. And it embeds the right industry mix of recall versus reasoning questions. Mm-hmm. So that's important for, you know, more advanced testing. You'll get more reasoning than recall. But it gives you banks of questions in, I don't know, from starting uploading those content assets to creating the questions can generate in 5 minutes, but usually you want to then send for review.
Yeah. Well, let me respond to this by saying this is wonderful first, that I have in mind an experience that I had with, I did some consulting work, and this squarely would have solved that problem when I was doing that work on my own. Because what I was trying to use is, I had a combination of like Notebook LM and ChatGPT and other things. Yeah. And I was bringing into that all the content, sieving through the content, organizing it, trying to build question banks, and did pretty well. But it didn't have what you have built into, what you've imbued into your platform, which is that industry best practice. Just to talk about exam questions, that's hard. And it's always if you're asked or compelled to say, okay, I want to do I'm going to stay away from certification, but to say a credential, right?
Yeah.
I just completed one of them last night, actually, for Atlassian Rovo Fundamentals. It was a non-trivial work, but it was... That is a really good example of how your platform can come into play. You feed into the relevant material. Now your platform itself is actually working through, okay, what's the job task analysis and doing all that work, organizing it, letting me put things where they want. I want this. I don't want that. Tweak a little bit, change this. And now I'm producing all of the artifacts that I would need to make a really solid, instructionally sound course. Which now I'm going back to that Series A, Series B, Series C company that doesn't have all the resources. That is a great opportunity for you to use that platform and start building that content, knowing that you're going to have things coming out of that that are in industry sound, right? Because that's the first thing we miss. SMEs are always going to throw the kitchen sink at you. And then questions don't do, like, what are some of the common rules for certification? You have to have kind of similar word count. You have to have a certain number of questions. They have to be in a certain way. That stuff isn't, it is non-intuitive. And it's really hard for you to write a good, I mean, I remember being a university adjunct professor for a long time. Nobody ever trained us on this stuff. You know, make a test for people. Well, the tests were garbage. Where were you back then? No, just you're working.
That's like what me. I keep asking myself. I'm like, oh, where was this when I was running these teams? I was always getting, like, I lived this. I was always getting pressure to decrease cost, get more courses out faster, get the updates done quick. Like, I lived all these problems. You so for me, like, I'm a problem solver, but I'm also, I love building. So I think the combination of that was cool, which was, you know, I saw on the delivery side, you know, there's LMSs and there's proctoring tools, and like they were starting to incorporate AI a little bit. But there was nothing for the design and development side. It was, you know, there were production tools, so you could create really nice looking e-learning, but it didn't save any time. It still took, you know, 3 months to create an hour e-learning module kind of thing. And then same with exams. Like, I kept, you know, getting questions from companies. I also, in my spare time, advise with companies, and, you know, I just am so passionate about learning. I'll help whoever is asking. And a lot of the smaller companies that you mentioned, you know, or even organizations within a huge enterprise company who weren't in the learning group, they'd say, well, I've been tasked to create an exam, or the executives are telling us we need certifications. And every time they'd say, how do I do that? And I would just think, oh my gosh, this is like a massive undertaking. They just don't, like, if you haven't been through it, you don't know how to do it, but you also don't know, like, it's going to cost this much. It's going to take this many resources. It's going to take your SMEs out for, you know, months. 3 to 4 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, depending on the size of the exam. And you need somebody who knows, like, even down to the distractors. The distractors have to be crafted a specific way to be able to be a defensible exam. And so that's kind of how this idea was born out of that, which is like, how do we help people across the industry achieve what's needed in order to grow their business, or, you know, certify internal staff or customers, without them having to figure this out by themselves, which is essentially what had to do over the years, or my teams had to do. I mean, eventually I found Joe, and so I hired him at one job, and that was the best, but,
there's not a lot of Joes in the world, right?
But also rethinking to the other thing that I was always challenged with over all the years was I would go to the subject matter experts and I would say, you need to tell me what users of the software need to know. So you need to spend hours and hours with me educating me on that. So I can take all of that and then, you know, break it down and make it easy for the person learning. And that was hard for the SMEs. Like, they didn't have time. If I didn't have time, I'd have to ask them for, can you put it in a PowerPoint or write it in a document? I even had a subject matter expert show up at my office door saying, like, you've asked me to write this thing, all this stuff, and I don't know how to do it. And they felt pressure to write it in a way that was good for learning, whereas I just kind of wanted a brain dump. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't feel comfortable. So I said, well, can you just talk to me and explain it? And and that was a lot more comfortable for them. And same with exam questions. Like, you know, you have to lock the SMEs in a room for at least a week, but often longer, kind of teach them how to write questions, break it all down. Like, it's a grueling exercise that, frankly, they don't love to do. And so part of the Leah platform was rethinking, how can we work with subject matter experts to get the expertise, but make it easier on them and on us? And so that's where the thought process around just record it and then feed that into Leah. Leah will break it down for you, write it into a learning style.
Right.
And same with the exam questions. Now you can take their content, raw content, build the questions, send it to them for review versus forcing them to try and write all of these things. So some of it's just thinking of how we can do the same thing differently, but make it easier on everybody so that they also gain efficiency and are able to do their jobs better.
Yeah. You know, I want to pull that through and kind of bubble up a little bit to I want to talk to the part of our audience who is more the leadership who, and it's, what's interesting in C-Lab is that we do have a number of listeners that are executives or they're thinking about this business problem that we have. And yeah. Since I spent a lot of time at Gainsight, I think this is an appropriate place to talk about churn. And yeah. What I want to do is connect the dots here. Everything that you said is some, the thing that we discover and learn viscerally and that I've been through. And like, as you're talking about this, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah, this happened. And that leading up to that certification, oh my Lord, that is so hard to talk with a team and say you're going to need all this time and all this energy when people your hair is on fire. Yeah. And yeah. Well, so let's put it in this context. So here's a normal scenario. I'm a B2B company, maybe small, growing. I don't have a lot of resources. I have a large enterprise customer, and that customer is at a high risk of churn. What commonly happens is that, at least in my experience and probably in my peer set, if you're in those smaller companies, you're trying to just keep going and keep doing whatever you could do with whatever resources you got. Now this company is saying, oh my gosh, I need this and this and this and this. I have no idea. Just to your point that you said before, what we end up getting, and one of the things that we've been trying to talk about at C-Lab is that there is a time and a place when you're learning debt. It compounds. It's kind of like an adjunct to technical debt, you know, which is, yeah. Oh, well, I need to have this solutions architect or this project manager or whatever, work with a client to solve this problem, to get them to understand it while I'm building the solution. While, you know, and that compounds itself because I've got 100 other customers lined up behind them. And yeah. So you're asking an individual to solve what is implicitly a technical, like I have to have some hands on, but it's a learning problem where if I could get that customer to look, like you said, I love the blank, you know, blank canvas question. Like, I don't know where to start. Okay.
Yeah.
That is the disconnect that a lot of these companies have. And when they get to the point, that point, then they're scrambling. They find anybody and they just kind of put stuff together. What I'm saying here is I'd like you to talk through the, okay, now I'm that company. I have this learning debt. There's a solution out there that bridges the resource gap we might have, the need for standards, the need for speed, and to bring in, so let's say, here's a practical experience. I just solve this problem with this customer. I've got 2 months to get something on the table. I need both on demand and instructional stuff. Then I really would like, I don't have to go to a certification level, but I really like this, some badge or something that customer can show off, get the happy feeling, right? Yeah. But that's a lot of work. So now if we brought Leah in to the picture, maybe even with a little bit of consultative motion on your behalf, we could go from months to weeks. You know, of course, navigating our contract stuff and all that fun. But for me, I'd like you to talk more about that. Now you're combating, your platform is me differentiating in the market because those companies that are high velocity and need it, they have a tool that they can, you know, implement pretty quickly to get really positive results and pretty darn good stuff. So can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, have you worked with companies in that capacity before, seen that kind of development?
Yeah, definitely. So some of the smaller companies too, we find, well, as you said, you know, they don't have the capacity or they didn't see the need to hire core instructional designers. So
Shame on them.
Yeah, I look at that and go, well, okay, those are the key experts who really understand the learning outcomes that are needed in order for learners to actually learn. But these are the companies that, you know, maybe somebody in marketing gets tasked to build the training, or someone in customer support, or or the subject matter experts. It's like, well, you know, in tech, you know the product, so you build the training. And a lot of that, a lot of the go-to around that is, okay, I'll just record it and I'll create these recordings and I'll post the recordings.
Or use a webinar and record that.
I'll use the webinar and record that. But then what I see is the recordings kind of just get posted to this portal. There's no, they don't know to think about, what does the learner or the user need to see first versus second versus like, how do they navigate those recordings to make best use of their time? And so that's where often with companies like that, we are very generous sharing our subject matter expertise and time with them to get them started. So we'll work with customers to really understand their use case, mm-hmm. what their pain points are, what they need to do, what they're picturing kind of that output looks like. And we'll help them achieve that. So they benefit from our subject matter expertise. But also, I think they're amazed at how quickly they can leverage the stuff that they have and all of a sudden output a course that someone can use. They get all excited about that. So, you know, there's some companies that will email us and say, like, we were stuck for a year. We didn't know what to do. The executives were asking us for training content. We had some recordings we didn't get great feedback on. And now within, you know, 3 weeks, we have two or three courses of the X we need to build. And same with test questions. Like, honestly, I tell everybody this, the test question generator. So we have knowledge check questions that are in the editor. So those are more for like one or two questions at the end of a section or a chapter of learning. So that's a little different than the exam generator that generates hundreds. But that's my favorite. Those are my favorite features, functionality, because even as an instructional designer, I did not like writing test questions. I found it horrible to get started. You know, I'd find it so monotonous to try and figure out what the distractors were. I'd get feedback that they were too easy. Like, it just was like a process I didn't enjoy.
It was ghastly. I've done that too. It's painful. It's actually deeply painful at times because this is that place, Sarah, where AI is our best friend because it's going after those things that are tedious, time consuming. They're formulaic. There's a process. This is an agentic type. This is perfect for AI because we don't want it. We can. And that's where you've imbued the knowledge that we as learning professionals have about how best to do that. I'm sure there's always opportunity to tweak and improve, but good enough is where we need to start and excellent is where we aspire to. Well, that's freaking wonderful.
That's what I always say. So, you know, I don't know if we're going to get into this at all, but some instructional designers are having a hard time with AI because it is doing aspects of the job that they've been experts at doing. And in some ways, they feel that those were creative aspects that they enjoyed because they could create from their brains and they knew how to do it. But test question writing, like that's why I always tell them, like, it's okay if you're the expert. It'll suggest quickly questions that you could have for that context of content and then tweak it, like make it better because you know how to make them better. So your questions are going to be on fire, like they're going to be amazing. But then for people who don't know where to get started, then it's presenting questions that are good enough and then they can review with the SMEs and make it better, but it's unsticking what they didn't know how to do or what was taking such a long time to do to just accelerate and make it better faster so that we can get those out.
Well, you did a good job bridging or segging into this topic of the human blocker. And this is something that I think let's go even deeper on that because that felt experience of the reality of, I love my job. I love doing these things. I mean, I would not take it away from anybody who says they love question bank creation and stuff. Glory to them, right? We need those. We need those people in this world. But then again, in SaaS, with the need for speed. Again, I got to get something out the door. To be frank, you know, I'm thinking of things that even I'm seeing opportunities that I'm seeing in Atlassian today, where even we with a pretty large team of instructional designers and creatives. And I'm not saying that we can't keep up, but there's an additional demand that's more specific, right? I mean, there's this one customer that they need this and we don't have it, but that's an area that we haven't prioritized yet. We have all this content and we could put something, get something out, and we can get it out pretty quick, right? Those are the things that now I'm reaching out of being in that small environment. I'm going to get back to the human blocker. But then what I'm also trying to do is connect to our topic that we were just talking about I'm a company experiencing business problems. This is a big one. Equally so in large enterprise businesses for which I'm in and others are in, and that we still have the same need because, hey, my team is totally committed to this, but if I had Leah at my side, I could part off a tiger team and say, okay, you guys are working on these high impact, I have a high touch enterprise client that I need to work with, and it's more hands on. They have special needs, you know, not like they're special or anything, but snowflake needs, right? They've got, I want this and I want this and want this. We can't customize everything. We can't build bespoke for everything because it takes too much time. Now, what I'm seeing is your platform can be in that interstitial space with those opportunities too, where, okay, we need to do this really fast. We need to get it out. We have weeks, not months. And I want to deliver something. I need an instructional design component. I need an on-demand component. Boom, right? And then we can even level set with a customer that this is an accelerated program. It's just for you. It's specific. Wham, we got it. Now let's get back to, okay, now we talked about all that space, but let's talk about the humans. So you're alluding to the fact that I'm an instructional designer and I am, I'm resistant to change right now because me as a human being, and I've seen stories of this, and I know some of our friends, mutual friends, have had direct experience with people said that, no, I am not going to use AI, period. Mm-hmm. End of story. Sometimes they quit their job. And there is a vulnerability, a human resistance to change, because we know we can do things really well. But we're attempting to do as a part of this podcast is to talk about that look, it's both and. We have these emerging tools. We're doing them right. You're doing them right. We're building a legacy of trust, right? But now we want to take you to the next level. So can you talk to me about that? Like, we're talking about, okay, maybe a manual process of storyboarding, a copy, you know, like all those guts and things that you do as an instructional designer today without a platform like yours.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been, so when I founded the company, I thought, okay, well, we're going to build this platform and everyone's going to want to use it. I didn't consider as much the human change component that would be at play. Mm-hmm. And certainly, you know, we started building this before the term Gen AI existed. So we were building the AI components to take raw content and turn it into learning content ourselves. And so we would show to early companies, we'd show the prototype and instantly, you know, people would be like, oh, I don't believe that actually works. I don't believe AI could do this. Now, Gen AI, when it came in, helped us because now people are more familiar with, you know, playing with prompts and using ChatGPT and kind of understanding the limitations and understanding the human component and the system component and how that plays together. At the beginning, that we were trying to educate everybody on, like, this works and it's going to make your life better. We promise. And we were you, like, we are one of you. We're a soldier like you and a soldier instructional designer. But even today, you know, humans go through the change curve and it's just a known thing, especially if you've been in leadership, you learn every human goes through that change curve differently at a different time span. So some go through it fast, like, oh, this is changing. I don't like it. Okay. But I'm kind of interested. Oh, I like this. And they change right away. Mm-hmm. And other people resist. They'll even go to lengths to prove why it doesn't work. So that's why they can't use it. Instead of focusing on, you know, okay, but today, like, you can't do everything as a human equally and get speed. You can't.
That's right.
And so instead of focusing on like, maybe I have this one pain point, like test questions take me forever, or I can't get a subject matter expert to meet with me. you know, sometimes they'll focus on the whole process is changing, my job's changing. Like they're really going through, you know, that human change component. I've seen people in our demos with hives, like really physically reacting to what's happening. And so what I recommend, there's some things I recommend.
Therapy.
You know, one is...
Sorry.
I get it. I do get it because I was like, I mean, I kept these things because I was so proud at what I crafted, right? So I get it. But the business needs and the rate of change, especially in tech, but like in other businesses too, is just rapidly expanding. Like, you know, when the whole sprint cycle and cloud-based tech came into play, like you could change features every 2 weeks or every day, or and so the demand for the business rapidly increased and the learning teams haven't necessarily kept up. And that, you know, sometimes they'll get a bad reputation for that, or there's just this constant pressure on the leaders of these learning teams to get things out faster, faster, faster. And so we as instructional designers and humans, you know, partly we need to recognize that that's what's happening and we need to play a part in helping accelerate the business. But also I often recommend just start with one thing. Like in customer education in particular, we've been really talented at creating a process with all the tools and all the templates and all the standards. Like everything is perfect. Yeah. We have like been really, really good at that. And I used to craft those style guides and be like, oh, I'm so proud of all of like, this perfect work of art that I've crafted that everyone has to use. And so sometimes it's overwhelming to think about changing the whole process because we've spent 10, 15 years building that.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I often will recommend, you know, pick one thing you can't do today that you think AI or the Leah platform can help you do better. Start there and then start to get a feel for it. Then maybe add a second piece. Don't think about changing your whole process. And the companies who have learning leaders who are focused on a strategic approach to implementing AI versus just go try and test tools. Like there's one company we came across and they're like, yeah, we're trying 14 different tools right now. And it's like, oh my gosh, like that's overwhelming. you know, so the learning leaders that are saying like, we're going to implement AI for this, this, and this, and here are our goals, you know, and putting benchmarks in place, like we need to save X amount of time and they're tracking it. Those are the organizations that are leading. Organizations who kind of leave it up to the team to decide and go try things. Those are the ones that are lagging, yeah, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And as they try, you know, this piece and this piece and this piece, what we're seeing is they're starting to just change the traditional process naturally because they're realizing, so storyboarding was a great example.
Right.
But before, you know, I used to sit with a doc file or a spreadsheet and I would map my entire course out and I'd work with the SMEs and I'd review it. That would take weeks of time.
Yeah.
And now with AI, what it's doing is allowing us, it's able to understand the context and make suggestions. And so you can actually storyboard right within the context of building the course and make those decisions as you move through the sections, and it's faster. And another example is the exam generator. Someone came to us and said, hey, now that it's so easy for the AI to suggest the domains and the competencies, I'm actually going to go do that step first because in 2 minutes I have that laid out. And then I'm going to go back and start building the course because I understand now the domains and competencies that I need to build the learning for.
You can almost start from begin. It's the Stephen Covey, begin with the end in mind. You know, we've mapped the tasks. We've mapped the domains. We know what you need. And now we're filling in the gaps to build to that exam Wow.
Exactly.
That's a wholly different approach.
I know. So I didn't think of that. And then when someone told me they were doing that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is brilliant. So we're, you know, we predicted certain things. We're seeing, you know, what other people are figuring out. And then we're able to bring that back and share that with more people. But all I would say is, you know, if we think of AI as just another tool, it's another tool in our toolbox. Mm-hmm. None of the other tools took our jobs. For all of the years that we've been selling Leah into huge enterprise customer bases, we haven't seen layoffs because, you know, they're using AI. Like, that's not happening. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen. Maybe, I don't know. But companies are still recognizing the deep expertise of people who have been doing this for years. But we can speed up the mundane things and then focus that expertise to add on and still be faster. So we're hearing companies are about 85% faster. And they're even tracking the number of courses they're able to release faster to the learner than they could a year ago or 2 years ago.
Well, then so keeping them maintained and updated, that's part of it. And okay, let me resurface some of the points here that you've talked about. And I think you do a really good job of diffusing the worry, right? And part of the intent that I have behind our podcast today is, again, soften, you know, the concern and de-escalate the emotions that we have, the feelings that we have about, well, let's think of how I can contextualize this in terms of the felt experience that we have at Atlassian today, where we have our own AI product, right? Rovo, which it's been really interesting to see how we've, as an organization, embraced that change. And it's really opened up the space proactively for platforms like yours, because now we have a tool that can go quickly, take all the institutional knowledge we have. I think now, if I were thinking through, the biggest challenge we have is just velocity. How do we keep these things updated that we've already built? How do we curate, right? How do we have a strategic, we have just hired a new content strategist, right? That's a really specific kind of role, but it takes that that instructional design learning experience design background. But now if you've elevated somebody out of the mundane, then now I'm able to look over all of my programming elements, even as an individual, right? Or with a team, and be able to say, okay, now we know we need to change these things. We can do that real quick. That's just a task. It'll take this much time. Hey, we've got this, like I talked about that opportunity. We've got an inbound opportunity that we should deal with that's going to help all these other customers, you know, incidentally, after if we solve this problem. This is, the point is, embrace the tooling. We now are feeling, as instructional designers and learning experts, learning professionals, more about how we can use AI. It's the, and the big thing is that standardization of prompting, the building of a large language model that it imbues our learning expertise. But knowing that that's there and being able to trust it, you should never trust anything or anybody, really, but I'm finding it much better, much easier to trust the results. Because if I've curated and shepherded the content the right way, it great. And the fact that I like that SME issue that you have, the subject matter expert, if they're busy, don't have time, you know, with Atlassian, what I could do is use Rovo to consolidate and seek out and find all the relevant material. I can take that and I can inject that into learn experts, and I don't have to talk to anybody, right? It helps if I do, but I have looked through the entire corporate topology. I found things. I could proactively go and say, hey, how does this look? Oh my God, this is great material. Yeah, we didn't have to do anything. Now it decreased the friction that we have. So all of these things are really evocative of like the right, this is the right direction to be going. And I can only see great things for your platform. So I just say to those that are thinking about your tooling or those who are expressing resistance, don't worry, right? Now you can do more. It's like, do more with less. That's always been the mantra of startup and software. Do more with less. We got to move fast. We don't have time. We don't have resources. Go, 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 go. That builds on you. This helps diffuse that.
Yeah. I'm hoping over time, learning teams and instructional designers feel less pressure. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now it's just the change management curve. And I get that.
Gosh, change always.
And doing all the things that we just you know, crafted for years. But you know, owning big learning teams and also being an instructional designer myself, I felt an intense pressure to, like, we had deadlines. We couldn't right. miss deadlines. I mean, like, I back when I started into management, I was the curriculum manager, I guess is what it was called. Yeah. And I worked at Cognos. It was approaching $1 billion, I think, then. Big. There was a lot of pressure. Like, we had to get the training out. And back then, you had the phone on the desk where the display came up. The CEO was calling me. I was like, freaking out. Pick up the phone.
Hello.
Rob asked. He's super nice. But but anyway, he said, Sarah, you know, we're releasing these new features fast and we're onboarding customers as fast as we possibly can. And yet the training is lagging 6 to 9 months. Like, how can we possibly train all the staff to support the product and then train them in time? Like, what are we going to do? So I promised him that I would speed it up. The only choice, I mean, I re-engineered the project schedule a bit, but the only choice I had was to hire more people. We had to throw more people at it. But that was such an important issue for the CEO that he personally called me to say, we have to do better. And it wasn't my fault or my team's fault. Like, anyone who hears that story would say, oh yeah, that was me. That's us now even. but just the rate of change and the demand for needing training, it's great. Like, it means we have really important jobs, but we just got to figure out how to get more efficient. And use the expertise we have to guide the organization, like you said, from a bigger picture as to where we need to go versus, you know, I don't know, like, we used to record everything with our voices. And then if you have to change that, but that person left, you have to re-record everything. Like, it's such a pain.
It's
so things like that, you know, give us the ability to, I think, improve our lives. You know, make it easier and make us different types of heroes than, you know, even with me, I actually was banned from doing the recordings because they said, your voice isn't good on recordings.
Like,
I cried a little.
Yeah. You know, ironically, I got into doing podcasting because I love doing the recording part, but then we're no longer doing it.
Yeah.
Didn't we right. we started to eventually use things like Synthesia or 11 Labs or, you know, Wellsaid Labs to do that kind of stuff. Or we didn't do it at all because you can't scale like that. I remember sitting in a room for hours and hours and hours and hours and people would come. I was sitting outside of a support area and the support, yay! And all of a sudden I'm like, oh God, I got to re-record that piece. But yeah, I feel it, sister. You know, this is that felt pain of velocity. I need to go to market. If I were to go back in time when we were talking early episodes in C-Lab, we were struggling with the concept of the seat at the table. I don't talk about that anymore because I feel like we're there. Those of us who are effectively leading and crafting solutions with scale in mind are not doing the old school type ways. They're adapting to the changes that we're seeing. Like within a 10-year arc, you know, I went from using a platform, recording every video with my voice, with my script. I did all the work. That was so painful to today where I could leverage your platform to produce better, right? In literally a fraction of the time. That 85% stat is real because you see it. So let's, again, this is really great. I'm glad you told that CEO story is just perfect because it's actually a win. And I bet there's people out there, if you're listening in, you might have that happen to you. It's happened to me. It's happened to Sarah. It's happened to many others where you finally get on the radar, but it's in a scary way. You can mitigate that.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. That's not the radar you want to be on.
No, but in your case, you're on the side of like, I can do so. We'll throw resources at now. Now we have different kinds of resources.
Yes.
So let's seg and trans and kind of ramp down here I'd like to just kind of go through the key differentiators, the things that your platform brings to bear. You've already said some of them. I'll start off with the first one, which is speed. 85% faster is what you're seeing from your customer base to craft content than traditional methods. That's right off the bat. That's huge for me. And I've poked around in your platform and I can see it.
Yeah.
You've got some other stats in here and other things that you really want to bring to bear and make sure folks. So let's go through them kind of speed lightning round here. And then we'll wrap up. So what are the other key things that you would say to your customers or your prospective customers that are the most important aspects that your platform, LearnXBooks and Dia are going to help with?
So speed and efficiency is one, consistency is another, helping people who aren't instructional designers build good training. Mm-hmm. And then some other key differentiators just are, the ability to use your own IP and context. And we've built in our own algorithms, rules, prompting based on our expertise to take that context and then translate that into high quality learning content. Right. So some secret sauce in there, which of course I won't get into, but that really aids, like when the AI generates something, it's we get positive feedback on it's very high quality right away. Mm-hmm. So if you're more experienced, you can tweak it and make it better, but usually it's very usable the first time you get it. The other is just embedding that learning science. So keeping the eye on that framework of tell me, show me, let me try, test me.
Yeah.
We have an in-app guidance system as well. So that's always analyzing what you're doing as you're working through the course. And then it's making suggestions to you. So if you change something, it'll say, hey, wait, it's better this way. Do you want, and then it'll offer to do it for you.
Yeah.
That's also speed. And same with interactive elements. It'll analyze certain parts of your content and say, well, this would make a good set of, flip cards or process view or diagram. Embedding the questions, sending for review. The other one we didn't talk about, which is around customizing, updating. We talked a bit about updating, but customizing content. Very easy to add additional content in, and the system will recognize where it needs to be updated and help you update that faster. I have other stories about, when it was time to update courses, everyone would scatter, like, not me.
I'm out. Like,
first job ever. Like reading through everything and then comparing, oh, okay, that sentence needs to change. Like totally boring. But customizing too, you can just duplicate a course and then upload, that custom content in there.
Like you had a one-off customer or somebody that wanted something, they wanted something custom. We hate using that word, but you could do it.
Yeah, you could do it. So it'll revamp the outline with that custom content, pull the right custom content into the right pieces, and then you can go on and release the course. Translation's another one. So you can translate click of a button. I used to have $1 million translation budget to do it.
$1 million? For everything.
Yeah. We had to translate into 13 languages. I had to work with agencies all over the world, but now you click a button and in 30 seconds, it translates the course. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
And then exporting into multiple modalities. So that's another big one for us is we lived it. We know everyone doesn't just need e-learning. They probably sometimes need a virtual class or a video or EPUB or job aid. Like there's all these ways to repurpose your course. And we used, that was our methodology through all the years of me managing learning teams is develop once, reuse. But we had fancy, fancy scripts that we built to do it all. So now it's all pre-built into the platform, makes it really easy for you to repurpose that content. However you need it, when you need it. So you don't have to export it all at the same time. You can come back in a month and say, now I need instructor-led version and produce that. So lots of flexibility. We have like crazy ideas for what's coming in the future and stuff we're going to do. So it won't just be this. But some of that will be crafted, I think, too, or influenced by our current customers and things that they're asking for.
Yeah, and you also have a number of integrations.
Yes.
Can you tell me why some of the key ones and why that's really important for you and your customers today?
Yeah. So for the LMS side, we produce a SCORM file, so you can export that and import it. But we do partner with Skilljar. you know, we'll partner with other LMSs, but Skilljar today, where you can just publish direct. Mm-hmm. Just through a simple API key, but people love that feature. Saves time, publishes it how you need it. And then there's aspects around simulations, you know, videos, things like that.
Right.
We didn't want to be a tool that created everything. And so instead, we strategically will link in pieces from other platforms out there so that you can have it in your course. It's embedded in the course that you produce, but it's linked out to the other tool suites that you might use. So Texas Speech is one. We're integrated with Well Said. There's Cluso, IORAD for simulations. Synthesia is a big one. And then, you know, Skilljar. So
that's
so
a lot.
Integrations like that. Yeah.
So now we have inputs, outputs, things that additionally increase our velocity. I think one metric or one stat you didn't bring up was rework reduction. You're seeing 90% efficiency in that rework. This is, these are all the things where as businesses we're struggling for that velocity, we're struggling to get things at quality. Oh gosh. And from my perspective, you know, that we really have to lean in hard to AI, and you know, we want people to be comfortable, especially our IDs who can, you know, the mantras, you do more, you can be that more strategic element, you can be more visible, you can, you know, you can spend time doing your own training. Well, this is really great, Sarah. I'm really appreciative of your time. This is really exciting to me. I think it should be to anybody in our audience. Go check out the platform. And what I'm thinking is, like, there's some through lines here. If you're struggling with backlogs, if you're fighting to maintain, get consistency, you're seeing the risk of churn, you've got customers that are demanding training, and there's a time when that happens when people want more out of you, especially enterprise companies will expect more. What else is there any other things that are going on right now in your universe, events, talks you've got? I know you were just your company was just a DevLearn. I don't think you were able to attend. What else can we say to drive home how, you know, reach out to you and connect and ask, you know, get a demo. What else would you want to say to our audience?
Yeah. I'm really passionate about, how we can change the game with AI in the learning space. I've been in the learning space my entire career, so I've seen how it's changed, but now, like, it's a huge opportunity for us to embrace that, and we can go educate our companies on how we can do it differently. That's our opportunity. So I'm posting on LinkedIn a lot about that, you know, so keep your eye on that, like, connect with me on LinkedIn. I love it when people interact with that with their ideas, because that helps all of us figure out how to do this. Like, we only have one perspective. We just were at TSIA DevLearn. We're attending ATD coming up in the year. There's some other conferences. But participating on LinkedIn to help share what you're experimenting with or figuring out is awesome.
That's amazing. All right. Well, let's wrap up again. Thank you, Sarah, for this deep dive and a really interesting discussion about the felt experience of change, how AI and Leah in particular can really help customers. Everybody in this learning space, particularly those that have the need for speed like we do. And you have a URL that you gave us. Check it out. learnexperts.ai/CELab. And you can find out more or just reach out to Sarah. We really are excited about your platform. And if you want to learn more, folks, we have a podcast website at customer.education, easy to find. You'll find show notes, other things, links. If you make it easy, just go there. You'll get connected to Learn Experts easily. You can always find us on LinkedIn. Special thanks to our music expert, Alan Coda, for our theme music. And if it helps you out, you can help us out by subscribing to our show on all of the podcatchers, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, Spotify. I can go on forever. There's a lot of them out there. Please leave us a positive review on Apple Podcasts. That helps us out even more. And tell a friend, you know, tell your peers. We're here to help everybody grow and learn and succeed in this really complicated space of learning. So audience, thank you for joining us again. Get out there, educate, experiment, and find your people. Cheers, everybody.